We're back. Thursday edition of the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike.
Reese. Spike. How you feeling?
Spike. Sorry about that. You and your dramatic pause, pregnant pause there. Threw me off. Jackie Baseball, how you doing in there? How at your boy?
Doing well.
All right.
Have a good birthday dinner?
Yes, I had a good birthday dinner.
Very happy for you, buddy. Big stuff. Yeah. Big stuff.
Big stuff.
How about those Mets?
You feeling good about that?
Oh, I feel great.
Doesn't make me feel any better.
It doesn't make me feel that much better either.
It just makes me feel like we should have beaten them.
Yeah.
Well, the Dodgers have walked 22 times in three games, so how's that make you feel?
Take a pitch!
22 times?
Phil's walked 16 and three.
Well, man. Jack, I don't know if you know this, but the Phillies were number six in chase rate in the playoffs, which is not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah. It's actually better than the Mets.
Yeah, so
it's not bad.
So take that for your loss, if it makes you feel better.
Yeah. Big show today, as there always is. Maybe a little bit bigger than the normal Thursday show. 3 o'clock. Kurt Warner joins us to help diagnose the issues with the Eagles offense.
Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner.
Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner. Then at 3:30, our buddy Sheil Kapadia joins us. Then Mike Lombardi, who will start talking about the Eagles, and then he will quickly pivot to teasing me about Paul George being injured and Joel Embiid being a loser and so on and so forth.
Are we grilling Kurt Warner about his son transferring from Temple?
No.
I would not grill him about that.
Can you imagine?
How could he ditch that program?
Yeah.
It was a shocker that he was at Temple in the first place.
Can you imagine if we just blindsided him with it with five questions in a row about his son leaving Temple?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Tucker wants.
We tricked you, Kurt.
Got him.
All right. So as we turn the page to the end of the week and we start really looking ahead to Sunday. Sunday for the Eagles, it's really amazing when you think about the fact that they were a 9.5-point favorite against the Cleveland Browns and now only a 3-point favorite against the New York Giants. And it comes at an incredibly crucial time for the Eagles and their season, I believe, especially given the performance against the Browns, which was a win, but a little iffy. Then all of the controversy this week surrounding Nick Sirianni, and here they go into Sunday on the road in New Jersey against the Giants. And I know this sounds like hyperbole a little bit, and it sounds a little bit dramatic, but I look at Sunday's game as a truly must-win game for the Eagles for this reason. I look at it as sort of like a fork in the road. It feels like to me, if the Eagles lose this game on Sunday, following everything that's happened, they are just a step closer to unraveling. I feel like the Eagles season, if they lose on Sunday, considering what happened over the last week or so, even piling on after the end of last season, I feel like we could see an unraveling. If they win it, I don't even need style points on Sunday. If they win it, it feels like they could think to themselves, we are 4-2, we've rallied behind our coach, and we are in a position to maybe make this season actually mean something. So, Ike, I guess I ask you a two-pronged question. First, do you agree with the premise? And second of all, if you do, what do you think is more likely?
Do I agree with the premise that it's a must-win?
Yeah.
I don't agree with the premise that it's a must-win.
Okay.
Obviously, I want them to win, and I'll be picking them to win. They should win this game Sunday. But if they so happen to lose the game, they're 3-3. They're 3-3 with 11 games to go, with a lot of winnable games on their schedule. Now, when you say unravel, I'm not sure that would necessarily take place. And the only reason I'm not for certain it wouldn't take place is because after this past Sunday, I don't know what Nick Sirianni's reaction is going to be. You know, if they lose this game Sunday with the amount of scrutiny and questions that are going to be thrown his way.
He's going to bring everybody's kids up to the party.
I don't know what his reaction is going to be, but it seems like the players are all in, not just for Nick, but for each other. So the one thing about the NFL season, man, is that, you know, even though you have star players on this team and there'll be guys who have job security, not everybody has job security. So I don't feel like the team is in a luxury position to throw in the towel on the season and just unravel. So these guys are going to continue to fight and work to win games every week. I don't believe it unravels from that sense. But what may become a little more clearer is that the team just isn't as good as some of us thought it was going to be prior to the season.
The reason I think the unravel thing is a real possibility is just the effect that outside noise seems to have on the head coach of the football team. And with him as the sort of emotional centerpiece of the football team, at least that's what he should be, it just seems like if this noise gets louder, that them being able to hold on, to not let go of the thread, seems unlikely to me. Now, if they win it, I do think it could have the opposite effect. I do think it could be one of those moments where, regardless of how they win it, I think we all wanted style points against the Browns. I would just take a win against the Giants at this point, given the situation. But I actually think the latter is more likely. I think it is more likely they lose and this season turns into a lost 7-win season with fighting a controversy every week. Then they win, they pull it together, and they win a bunch of games. 215-592-9494. What is more likely to you? The Eagles losing and it unraveling, the Eagles winning and putting together a bit of a run, or it doesn't matter at all. Maybe they win, maybe they lose. Jack, where are you?
Yeah, I think Sunday is a huge tipping point kind of game for this team. If they can't rally behind what has happened and how they've been kind of drugged through the mud the last week and pull this thing together, even after how they talked about the slow starts, how they've heard about Sirianni, and they can't go out, I would love them to lay a whooping on the Giants, but the Giants, we know they're going to be motivated for this game on Sunday. So we're kind of in a win territory because who knows how good the Eagles are. But if they can't rally and play a good football game and look like a cohesive unit, I just think that if they lose, this thing falls apart. I really do. I think if they lose on Sunday, this thing falls apart. Because if they can't rally now, how can I believe they're going to rally a week from now, 2 weeks from now?
What do you think is going to happen?
I think they're going to go on a run. I really do. Like, I like Sirianni's energy this week. I like the players' energy. I like how they've been talking. Maybe it's because he was standing there like a psycho listening to Many Men yesterday, and that kind of felt like a bit of a rallying cry.
It's good optics by him.
It is good optics by him. And that can... I kind of feel a little run coming from this team. I really do. Like, I think they can still right the ship here, but Sunday's huge from that standpoint.
Well, I definitely think that's more likely to happen than the team losing and everything unraveling.
Really?
Yeah, I think if I had to choose between the two, I would think that they would win Sunday, because I do believe they'll win Sunday, again in close fashion. Believe me.
Yeah, the blowout predictions are several weeks away.
Yeah, just not predicting the blowout. And Jack's right. I think we are, at least for now, in a win is a win territory. You just got to keep stacking the wins, and hopefully it does lead to you having better performances, playing with more confidence, and then this thing can start to snowball. But I just, the whole unraveling thing, I'm not there yet. I some of us may not like it, but I honestly think they're using the outside noise as motivation.
I don't care what they use as motivation, as long as it works.
Yeah.
You know, whether it works or not, you know, is the question. If they need, after the way last year ended and the way they've played so far, if they need extra motivation, to me, that is the warning sign anyway at this point, five games into the season. If it works, it works. So to you listening, what is more likely? Eagles win on Sunday, they go on a run. Eagles lose on Sunday, it all unravels. 215-592-9494. We do have a next question today, my friends. We have a pair of tickets to go see Disturbed, the Sickness 25th Anniversary Tour, April 2nd at the Wells Fargo Center, along with 3 days grace. For tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com. Little funny thing with Disturbed, or not, it makes me sentimental, is when I started in radio late nights on WYSP, that was one of the bands I was playing. I was a big Disturbed guy at the time. But it is Eminem's birthday. So for next question today,
Marshall
Mathers, we will, at the end of your sports point, we will ask you next question and ask you for a face of the 2000s. Give us a face of the 2000s, as Eminem was one of those. I remember the first time I heard Eminem, it was probably 97 or 96, something like that, in college. And then he became, you know, one of the biggest musicians of the 2000s.
Oh, man. Top. He's probably in my top 5 or 10.
He has to be.
Definitely in my top 10.
Yeah, he has to be. So, Ike, face of the 2000s.
Well, I'm going to go with arguably the biggest face in sports in the 2000s, and that's Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a name that will last forever.
Yeah.
You know, his mark on sports, I think, will last forever,
but
for
that,
sure.
And that run he had from 2000 like to 2010, man, I don't think we've seen. Maybe Michael did that. I guess Michael's run was like that in the 90s. But golf is much harder to win, especially majors. And, hell, Tiger. I mean, Tiger was arguably the face of sports. He might have been the biggest face in sports, period, at that time.
Yeah, well,
he was a transcendent athlete.
A transcendent athlete, was a black athlete in golf, which
yes.
was something we had never seen at that mm-hmm. level.
And so, made it look like an athlete, because we're used
yes.
to seeing golfers be either
sloppy.
Old or, yeah.
John
exactly,
Daly, fat,
shape.
Drinking
yes.
beer.
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he did come across like a regular
like
athlete.
Like being fit
yes.
mattered
young,
in golf.
By the way, not just black and Asian, but also young,
oh, yeah.
which was another
which
thing.
Which is probably bigger than anything that is that young people got
wow.
into it.
And yeah. probably the most iconic fist bump of all time.
Yes.
Well, he got that from Mike.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
No, it's
he
definitely.
Made it more. His is more popular than Mike's.
Oh,
Mike is
probably.
Mike's a little like this. He's like an upwards guy. You know, this is a full uppercut from Tiger.
Jack's just a Jordan hater. And
this has nothing to do with Jordan.
You're a Jordan
Who's the
hater.
More iconic fist pump, Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods? I think people say Tiger.
It's Jordan. Whatever.
It's not Jordan.
You know, Tiger probably has. He's right. Tiger has. Only, first of all, relax in there. Yes, because
yeah.
you are disrespecting MJ.
That's what he's doing.
Why? MJ was more famous for this one. What was that one?
Well, and MJ's fist pump really became famous after the what? After the Utah shot
yes.
or whatever it was. But
yeah.
Tiger is more iconic with the fist pump. But he got it from Mike.
That's fine.
Yes.
Jeter stole it from Michael. Kobe stole it from Michael. Tiger's is different.
I agree.
Thank you. 215.
I agree.
By the way, the other reason that Tiger's a good one is how it fell apart. I mean, mm-hmm. it in grand fashion, for sure, for Tiger Woods, which I think it's not a good thing, but also raises the story and the profile, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. So, Jack, face of the 2000s, what do you got?
Going to the realm of movies.
Okay.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah, that's a good
Will
one.
Will Ferrell had a big run. I mean, old school. Wedding Crashers,
yeah.
Anchorman.
Yeah.
Kicking
yeah.
and Screaming.
Yeah, that's a bad
yeah.
one.
It's a great, it's a top tier answer,
it's a
actually.
Bad answer, actually. So,
what was your stupid answer?
Well, mine's going to be Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, who cares?
Facebook changed the entire way how people
Mark
deal with it.
Zuckerberg?
Yes.
He's more famous now.
Everybody knows what he looks like.
I don't know if everybody knows what he looks like.
Well, it doesn't have to be literal face. I mean, I think Mark Zuckerberg is one of the most important, maybe one of the three most important people of the 2000s. Facebook changed everything.
I can agree with that. That's like saying, I mean, I would have rather gone with Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
I just stole one there.
Was he 90s or 2000s?
Both. It's the iPhone's 2000.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah, I think it's both.
I think he blew up in the 2000s.
Yeah.
He's also overrated, but whatever.
Oh, my God. Get out of here.
Right. He didn't invent anything. He bullied people into inventing things.
Well, but that's part of the job.
That's not getting into the weeds of,
Steve Jobs,
man.
Yeah. Get out of here. All right. So, two questions.
This guy wants to break down everything.
Yeah, it's Michael Jordan's not a big deal. Steve Jobs is not a big deal. It's like, get out of here, child. All right. So the two questions. First, what's more likely? The Eagles win on Sunday, go on a run, or Eagles lose on Sunday and the season unravels? 215-592-9494. And next question, for a pair of tickets to go see Disturbed April 2nd at the Wells Fargo Center, who is a face of the 2000s? 215-592-9494. Dan in Southwest Philly. Dan, you're on WIP.
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Dan?
What's up, Dan?
Yes, must win this week. And what you was just saying, he was saying it right. The guy Jose interpreted it wrong a little bit. Why can't they start with a first down first in the first quarter?
This is a great call. Where the hell's Corey?
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
run the ball.
They should start with two first downs. Actually,
start with two.
Yeah, three.
Yeah.
Three even.
And,
yeah.
And like you said, let me score three or six, and then the pressure's on them. Right?
Totally
now,
agree.
Our defense is coming. And here's another thing. Since we're on the Nick thing, we're past Nick Sirianni. All right? Nick, whatever, he's day by day, week by week. What do we do after that? Who do we bring in? Do we bring Vic as head coach for interim if he has to go during the season?
Oh, you're already firing Nick.
Nick's gone. Yeah.
Oh.
If they don't make the playoffs, Nick's done. Right? Oh,
okay. So
yeah, I would imagine if they don't make the playoffs, he's probably gone.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
Yeah, I would imagine that, yeah.
He's like me. We're day to day, right? Last year they asked him to call the offensive calls, right?
Yeah.
What's he do? He turned around and fired Sean Desai on the defense. He didn't call the offensive plays. He fired the defense coordinator.
Demoted him.
Demoted
him. He ain't called.
Yeah.
I don't think that was probably a group call. So
believe me, that wasn't Nick. Yes, that wasn't Nick.
That was definitely Howie.
All right.
But, listen, one more thing before I give you the trivia.
Yeah.
What do you think about, like, right now, if we think we're ready to go and there's a guy that they would probably trade, Myles Garrett, you wouldn't give up a first for Myles or Garrett right now?
No.
I would right now. Yes.
You
right
would?
Now?
Yes.
Right? Right, Ike?
Yes, I would.
I would not.
Yeah.
The backs are coming. Mitchell's coming. The Jones coming.
So, wait a minute. So, let me ask you this, Dan. You think it's basically a foregone conclusion that they're going to fire the head coach. So why, in the middle of the season, would you sink assets into a player who is not going to change your outlook for this year?
Myles Garrett will change the outlook for that defensive line this year. It's all about our offense, though. You know that. We're an offensive-driven team. They want to throw the ball, like they say. But if they have to run first,
yeah,
throw second, and Jalen's legs third. Okay. And another thing, why can't Jalen go under the center?
Well, because we're
going to get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. We're going to talk to Kurt Warner at 3 o'clock about that. Give us your face of the 2000s.
Tom Brady, come on. Is it a close?
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
It's a good one. It's a good one, Dan. Now, if we're going sports, I can't find a way to put Tom Brady above Tiger Woods. No, it's not just sports. This is for everything. But
yeah.
I just think I think Tom Brady would rank behind Tiger Woods in that way.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, but you know. Yeah. Yeah, he would.
I think he would.
Now,
I'm not talking about accomplishments, because Tom Brady is more accomplished than any athlete of all time, right? I mean,
he's not more accomplished than Tiger.
Well, you don't think so?
No. Tiger has 15 majors.
Well, but nobody has as many Super Bowls as Brady.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
That's a team sport.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
Tiger's won, 82 golf tournaments, the most ever?
Well, but I also think his
you realize 82 golf tournaments?
If we're going to talk about cultural impact, Tiger's so way ahead of Tom Brady. Even putting sports to the side, even if we say that they're equal, I think Tiger Woods
is
ahead.
That's why ESPN did that stupid the top athletes of 2000. They had Tiger Woods like 7 or 8. I'm like, what?
Oh, didn't they have Michael Phelps number one?
Yeah, come on. Was Phelps one? I think he was.
I think he was.
Phelps, he had a big, big 2000.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, listen, Phelps
winning. What are we talking about here?
Well,
it's
golf.
It
was great, yeah.
Yeah, well, golf is bigger than swimming.
Bigger than swimming now. Stop it.
Well, it's bigger than swimming, I know, but what he did was pretty impressive.
Yeah,
Phelps is a GOAT.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It's great at swimming. 215-592-9494.
Sounds like you're disrespecting swimming.
Carl in New Jersey. You're on WIP. What's up, Carl?
Yeah, how you doing? I'm going to start with the Eagles win. But it does not translate to like figuring out and building confidence and becoming a team that wins in an other than ugly way. And the reason why I say that is because they won ugly almost all 10 games that they won right there at the beginning last year, and it never translated into the confidence and the identity that we saw in 2022. Where they didn't just get to a 3 or 6 point lead and put pressure on the other teams. They got to a 3 touchdown lead, putting teams, putting pressure on other teams. They were scoring 21 points first half every single time. They are winning totally ugly. And I don't see winning in more ugly ways translating to them becoming the team that they were in 2022. I just don't see it.
Well, I just hang on, Carl. I would agree with you that a win doesn't make them the 2022 team. Mm-hmm. However, I do think the context of last year and this year, I think, is different. I just think we have
totally.
This moment, just because them winning, you know, close games last year didn't translate into anything else. I don't necessarily think that equates to them winning ugly in this particular Sunday not equating to anything else. I think the atmosphere around the team is one that if they get a win here, they can start to believe in themselves and maybe commit in a different way than they have.
I seriously hope you're right. And the one thing that gives me the most hope that you might be right is the new OC. Because I just think, you know, he's got to be able to be more creative than what happened when we saw them fall apart last year.
Has he been more creative through these first five games?
Well, he hasn't, and which is really upsetting me. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like the Eagles' ability to be creative begins to build with confidence somehow. Somehow they're just too conservative, and so I don't know what comes first, the win that makes them more confident, that makes them less conservative and more creative, or less conservative and more creative helps them win and develop the confidence.
But can I ask you this, Carl? When you say creative, what do you mean?
I mean because better offensive schemes.
But you're saying creative. You're saying creative. So
I'm going to say less predictable. I think they're predictable. I think I can sit back and almost every single play predict what they're going to do, and I'm just a layperson. I'm a nobody. If I can do it, then I promise you defenses and other, you know, NFL coaches can do it. So when I think creative, I think unpredictable. Like, I think, for example, having more, like, really short, quick plays for Hurts, where he gets rid of the ball faster
because
he has a problem holding on to the ball too long.
But okay, thank you for Carl. Who's the face of the 2000s?
I'm going to go with Stephon Curry.
Stephon Curry.
Stephon.
Oh, you know, but yeah, that's Steph Curry's
by
a good
the way,
one.
Steph is good enough.
Yeah, Steph Curry. I mean, he changed basketball.
Yeah, in the 2010s.
No, when you say
2000s,
yeah. I'm saying from 2000 to now.
Okay.
No.
I know what you're saying. But
I always think like 2000, 2010.
He's speaking of all the 2000s.
Yeah, I'm going to make an executive decision and say all 2000s.
Oh, is this because it's your show?
It is my show. I don't know if you know this, but I created it.
Yes.
This is my show. You have the other one?
Yeah.
Nah. I don't want to hear him called Stephon
Curry. Stephon Curry. Stephon Curry.
Steph Curry, man.
Coming up, Stephon from SNL, isn't that
yes.
Bill Hader plays on?
Yeah, that is the Bill Hader character. All right, coming up next, Dan Orlovsky had some negative things to say about how the Eagles look when they walk out onto the field.
So we're playing them.
Yeah, and we are going to play that for you. That is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Hey, get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers can bet $5, get $300 in bonus bets if you win. Tonight's game, we're looking at the Denver Broncos taking on the New Orleans Saints, and that game is in New Orleans. Let's build a same game parlay here. How about Alvin Kamara to go over in rushing yards and to score an anytime touchdown? Let's take the Broncos quarterback, Bo Nix, to go over in passing TDs. That's 1.5, so he'll get at least 2 tonight. And then let's go with an anytime touchdown for Broncos wide receiver, Courtland Sutton. Just visit FanDuel.com/Ike to make every moment more this season. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.